Can you think of a more unprecedented or more incredible story than the expansion Vegas Golden Knights being 7 wins away from a Stanley Cup? Now, I know it's been the talking point since October, but Rob Will and I got into the conversation yesterday as to equivalence, and Rob was talking about how that season for Wayne Gretzky when he got to 92 goals when it was all said and done is the thing that he can remember where it was just all year long, it was something that you thought would go away, but it never went away. And we talked about a couple of years ago in the NBA's Golden State Warriors, and they would go all the way to the NBA final only for LeBron James and Cleveland to come back on them and win that after being down 3-1. And then Leicester City in the Premiership. Those are the three that we could come up with. I'm really curious as to the gentlemen on the East-West hot stove as to where they go. Welcome back to the big show. Pat Steinberg along with you. It's time to welcome in the gents, Eric DeHatchuk, our Sportsnet 960 NHL insider representing the West. And on the East side, NBC Sports Philadelphia and Al Morganti. Guys, this has been an incredible story. And Al, let's start with you. Is there an equivalent you can think of in terms of just how incredible this run has been and where the Vegas Golden Knights are going into Game 3 tonight?
No, there isn't. And I took this as an assignment, and it ended up one of those things like I'm trying to do, like, I just can't. I mean, no matter how much you try to kind of project on what would be, I don't know anything about European soccer, so I can't speak to that, or Premier League, whatever it is. But as far as this side of the pond, there's nothing. And you look at teams that have done well in the NFL, the Panthers, whatever, even the Florida Panthers in hockey, and baseball teams don't do well at all. And you can argue that the salary cap, whatever, but there's nothing that compares. And I guess part of it is, I mean, Eric and I are on every week. We're on from the beginning of the year. Eric's in the Hall of Fame, and there was no way this ended up here. There's just no way. And it happened. I guess it's why you watch sports. But if you're looking for a comparison, I don't see any. And I've searched and done all the algorithms, I guess, if you will, and actually looked up the you know goal differentials or run differentials in baseball. There is nothing that compares to this. This is a standalone story.
You did way more work than I did, Al. But no, I mean, you're 100% right. And so, Pat, to your question, all right, so you're talking about team things. The three stories that you mentioned that you guys kicked around earlier were, one of them had an individual component. That was Wayne Gretzky scoring 92. The only thing that came to mind, again, was an individual thing. And that was the year that Teemu Selänne scored 76 goals. So the previous rookie goal scoring record was 53, held by Mike Bossy, and Selänne beat it by 23. And no one has come close, and no one will ever come close to that again. So Teemu Selänne's rookie year with the Winnipeg Jets was extraordinary, and it established a benchmark that will never be broken again. In terms of teams, I mean, there are pale comparisons. I'll reference one. To me, the year that the Florida Panthers, in the third year of existence, got to a Stanley Cup final, for third game of the season, the Flames are the visiting team. You know, the whole rat trick thing started. Those plastic rats, you know, raining down on that terrible ice in the Miami Arena. That was a pretty good story. I mean, that was a good story. And if they'd have won the Cup, it probably would be a better story. The year San Jose, I mean, San Jose was a complete laughingstock in its second season. I mean, worse than an expansion. I mean, they had like 24 points. And the next year they got to 82 and they beat a very good Detroit team in the first round. That was an extraordinary story. But not to this level, right? So if you're looking for something that 80% matches this or 60% matches this, yeah, you know, both Al and I have been at it a long time, and we've covered some very, very interesting stories and some great underdog stories. But in terms of what Vegas has done, and the fact that, I mean, it's 1-1. I'm here right now for game three. You know, they could win this. They could win this series, and they could win the Stanley Cup. And if they win the Stanley Cup, it will, you know, then that will be, I'll have run out of words of superlatives to describe what has gone on, because to go from zero to a championship, it just flat out doesn't happen. And so we'll see. I mean, it could go the other way too. I mean, Winnipeg has a very good team. I was at their morning skate. They seem very confident. They don't seem at all rattled by the fact that they lost a game at home, and now technically the home ice advantage goes to Vegas. So let's see how these next two games go. It feels like it's going to be a long series.
So, guys, quick follow-up, and I didn't include this in the topics, but I'd be curious as to, and it doesn't even have to be a long answer, I'm just curious as to where you'd be on this. Eric, you're there right now. Let's say, for sake of just this conversation, that Winnipeg turns on the Jets, excuse the pun, and they win the next three games, and Vegas is out in five. Have the Golden Knights already cemented themselves with the season that they have? That doesn't matter what happens from here on out. They've carved out kind of an indelible spot in NHL history.
Well, the bad line that everybody's using, because it is Vegas, is that they're playing with house money, but that is really true. So you're right. There's a chance it could go the other way. We're talking about what happens if they win a Stanley Cup. Well, you know, there's a real good Winnipeg team standing in their way, you know, all hands on deck, no injuries, playing well, hasn't lost back-to-back in the playoffs. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to think that Winnipeg, the favorites in this series, can still win this series. And so, you know, as we go off to, a Winnipeg-Washington final and we do the postmortems on Vegas, yes, absolutely. That, you know, like, the town will be, gaga about the team. I think there will be, oh my goodness, you know, too bad we couldn't take it all the way. But there will be no level of disappointment, in terms of what they accomplished. And the thing about it is, and obviously the management group of the Vegas Golden Knights isn't thinking about this right now because they still got a chance to win. But at a certain point, what if that happens? If they're out, in the conference finals, you know, you celebrate it for a week, get over the hangover, and it's like, now what do we do for an encore? And that, I think, is when the problems may start, because it will be very, very difficult for them in their second year to do what they've done in their first year, if only because Edmonton will be better, Calgary will be better. It looks like Arizona is going to be better. They won't catch anyone by surprise. They'll lose some people probably through free agency. Marc-Andre Fleury will be a year. All right. I mean, you know, there's churn on every team every year, and it will be very difficult to capture the magic, let alone, you know, the sort of the talent that they've got. And eventually they're going to have to push some of their young kids in the lineup. So that to me will be the hardest part for the group. Whatever happens 3 weeks, 4 weeks after the season, it's like, where do we go now? And they probably don't have any good answers, because I think they'll be like us. You know, we don't know. We don't know what happens after this.
Yeah, it'll be the first team sophomore slump to watch out for, rather than a player when you're looking at that. But as far as if they lose, they made the playoffs. I'm still stunned up with that they actually made the playoffs, and they're playing a team that a lot of people had picked to win the cup before the season even started. So there's nothing that's going to tarnish sort of what they've done here at all. They can't undo anything at this point, no matter what happens from this point on. They're absolutely fail. It's safe now. I don't think they're going to play like that with house money. I think that's been the key to their success. They just don't. Like, it's almost like they're too dumb to know that they're not supposed to win. They just don't accept that. And so whatever happens now, the legacy is safe, and the standard for whoever comes in next, boy, I'll tell you, that general manager there in Seattle, wherever, they're going to have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, you feel bad for whoever is going to be building that Seattle team, because that's a pretty high bar, almost an impossible bar to live up to when it's all said and done. It's the East-West Hot Stove. Al Morganti from NBC Sports Philadelphia. Eric DeHatchek from Sportsnet 960 NHL Insider, joining us on the program every Wednesday on The Big Show. Guys, I am the king of getting ahead of myself, so we definitely are here, because there's plenty of games still to go in the NHL postseason. But as it stands right now, here we are in the middle of May with neither of the conference finals finished or even leaning one way or the other. Who's your Conn Smythe front runner? I know there's probably a number of candidates, so I'll ask each of you. Al, you go first. If you were to say right now who's kind of in pole position for the Conn Smythe trophy, who would be your candidate?
Oh, Fleury. I think you put him on the Penguins, they win the cup. Even though Murray's been good, was good. I don't even know if they... I don't even know that he... Nobody's ever won and not going there, but what he's done, he'd be my favorite. I mean, Ovechkin will get some consideration should they go. Obviously, Marchessault has been good, but to me, it's Fleury. He's Now, I'm at the point now with these awards. I think you should wait till the end of the year to give all the awards for MVP or whatever. But he'd be my choice, and it'd be tough to beat him.
Yeah, Fleury would be mine too. In fact, funny, Al, because I did I went back to 2002. Do you remember? Because the closest anyone ever came to winning the Conn Smythe without actually getting to the final was Peter Forsberg, and he didn't really come close at all. But there was a lot of talk because he ended up leading the playoffs in scoring, even though he only played three rounds. And the Detroit team that won that year, they had seven guys between like 16 and 23 points. And so there was a lot of balance on that team. It ended up going to Nicholas Lidstrom. But those of us that had Conn Smythe votes, we debated, you know, do you give Peter Forsberg sort of a courtesy third place vote? Because he really was the best player in those playoffs. He only played 6 weeks. Detroit played 7.5 because that final against Carolina in 2002 ended really, really quickly. And I was making not the argument for, but raising the possibility that Fleury has done so much in the first two rounds of the playoffs that if this is a really good seven-game series, which Detroit-Colorado was, could he potentially be a Conn Smythe candidate and not get to the Stanley Cup final? I doubt it. I know that I chickened out at the end, and I'm sure that every voter that has a ballot this year would probably chicken out too, but he has been that good. And for sure, if you're handing out a first-half Conn Smythe, Fleury, I think, is a hands-down unanimous choice. Now, we haven't talked about Winnipeg. I think right now, you know, Mark Scheifele, but also Dustin Byfuglien. You know, I think Dustin Byfuglien has had a tremendous influence on the series. Now, this is the first game that Winnipeg's played that I've covered. The other games I've all seen on television. But I think sometimes there are players that are catalysts on a championship team. And, you know, Winnipeg has gotten tremendous production from that top line. Hellebuyck has been very, very good. But I think that Byfuglien has raised his game. He is physically dominant. I think he has intimidated players on every team that they've played so far in the playoffs. He's producing a ton of offense. He's playing lights out great. And I think that if Winnipeg advances, and if it's Winnipeg-Washington, it's going to be interesting because I do think then the Ovi, Byfuglien, Scheifele, you know, those would be the names that will be kicking around if it's a Winnipeg-Washington final.
Well, and that leads nicely into our final topic because, Eric, you just mentioned the name Alex Ovechkin. And you know, in some circles for a long time, he's kind of had that knock. You know, great, great numbers, generational goal scorer, but can't win the big one, can't get it done when it really matters. I know Washington loses last night in Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Final, but he's got 10 goals in 15 playoff games this year. His team's in the Eastern Conference Final for the first time in his career. Is what he's done this postseason, has that started to maybe change the narrative in a lot of circles when it comes to Ovechkin and his legacy?
Is Eric on... I to me, there is something added to it, but his number of goals and his actual, if you look at his scoring in the playoffs per game or whatever, I mean, it's right there. I guess it would, especially should he, if they win it, it would some, but honestly, when I look at what he's done anyway on the balance of his career, I don't know how much I would add to it. I mean, personally, for him personally, yes. But for me, looking at what he's done, what his career has been like, it was there anyway for me with the numbers that he's run up. So, yeah, I guess in the minds of, you know, you're watching games, you're a fan, you see you win the cup eventually. Yeah, it would. But I think he already had locked up a certain spot. I don't know how much higher you can go. It's a very nice thing to have. But I don't think he needed it to be in that premier spot.
Eric?
Yeah, what you said there, Al, is 100% right. It matters most to him because the times that I've spoken to him, and I had a fairly long conversation with him about that about 3 weeks ago in the season, and because he was approaching that 600 goal milestone, so we were talking a little bit about that. And at a certain point, it was like, you know, like he didn't want to talk about the milestones anymore. We ended up, you know, getting on to the topic of the playoffs. And that was when he became more animated. And it was just like, you know, like, yeah, the milestones are nice. Yeah, a lot of goals. Yeah, a lot of awards. Yeah, all that. I want a Stanley Cup. And it didn't sound like bluster. It didn't sound like BS. It sounded like it really mattered to him. And he sounded in that conversation like a really motivated guy, and that these playoffs you know, felt that they had a shot, that they had a decent team and depended on the draw, you know, all the different contingencies that factor into it. So in the grand scheme of things, the number of 50 goal seasons that he's had in an era when it's been very, very difficult to score, the Hall of Famer, you know, is going to be known as one of the greatest goal scorers of all time, maybe the greatest goal scorer of all time. So in terms of the legacy, that is secure. But from his own perspective, you know, he will not feel that he has had a complete career unless he wins the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, it's not exactly Ray Bourque. I mean, in Boston, Ray Bourque is still the legend Ray Bourque, and they didn't get it there. But he was there anyway without it. But it was a nice story when he won it. He didn't need it, but the fact that they won it so badly, to me, is as important as winning it, that they care that much about it, that it drives them so much, as much as actually getting. It was terrific Raymond Bourque got it, but his desire to get it those years in Boston, that put him there for me, that he was team-oriented, that he wanted that, and his stats, they stand on their own.
Great stuff, guys. Appreciate it. As always, we'll do it all over again in 1 week's time. Al Morganti, lead hockey analyst for NBC Sports Philadelphia. Eric Tkachuk, our Sportsnet 960 NHL insider, the East-West Hot Stove. Guys, thank you so much.
All right, thank you.